This is The Weekender with Chrissy Morrissey.
An exceptionally poor form on my part. I've just hoed into the jelly beans that have been left for me, but I have left all of the darker coloured ones. I don't like the licorice tasting ones, I hate to say it. So if you're a licorice fan, I might want to pop over to 6PR now because there's quite a plethora of them there to pick up. 24 minutes to 4 at 8:82 6PR, and we've got the wonderful Chris Parry online with us, and we're going to go travelling. Christopher, hello. How are you going?
Hello, Chrissy. I'm really well. How are you?
Fantastic.
Are you travelling well?
I'm travelling well. Not travelling as much as you, though. he says that with a smile. That's a little smile in his voice. Are you a jelly bean fanatic?
No. No, although I guess a black one's okay, although it does. Funny you say that. I've just got memories now of going down to my dad's surgery as a kid, and he'd have a little plastic orange on his desk, and he'd lift the orange up, and there'd be the jelly beans that would be in there for all the kids that were good
gorgeous.
And had a needle. Yeah.
Because your dad was a doctor in Narrogin, so many people would know, would remember Dr. Parry.
And the jelly beans were kept in the fridge too.
Why is that?
I'm not sure whether... I don't know. Does that make them better? I'm not sure.
Does that stop the germs from jumping on them from other people? So do you keep your jelly beans in the fridge now?
I don't have jelly beans in the fridge. Don't have them at all.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh. Actually, our doctor used to have lollipops, which probably would have horrified the local dentist or made the dentist a lot of money. Maybe they're in cahoots.
Yeah. What a great word, cahoots.
Cahoots. I love the word cahoots. Hey, now this week you're going to take us to a little island that is a little slice of paradise, aren't you? Just off the coast of WA.
Yeah, I'm right into Ireland at the moment, and I think next week I've got up my sleeve an island that's a lot further away from WA.
Mm.
But for this weekend, yeah, I just thought we'd look at Rottnest from what it used to be to what it is now.
Well, I can remember stories of Mum and Dad used to say when they went over there before I was born that it'd be a little boat and you'd rock up at Rottnest and you'd be, you know, the boat would be shaking and you'd have to gingerly get onto the wharf there to get out. Well, it certainly wasn't the big commercial enterprise that it is now. Although, having said that, even the commercialisation that we have there still feels nice and safe and, I don't know, there's something very equal about Rottnest, isn't
there? It's still kept its pace.
Mm.
And, I mean, the attraction on the waves and underneath the waves has never been in question, or, you know, neither of the 63 beaches. But I guess
63 beaches,
yeah. But what's really changed is the pace of holiday you can have on the island. So you can still have the joy of doing nothing at all, but you can also do so much. And even the way we get there, you know, you think of rolling there on the old Temeraire and all of those boats.
Mm.
And you know, and now you know, you look at the offers you can take to get there. There's even a heli ferry package being offered by Rottnest Fast Ferries, where you fly to Rottnest in your own private helicopter
and
then return by ferry. Magnificent ways to actually have an adventure on this island, which offers so much.
And we had Macca was on, I think, Chris Ilsley's program the other night. I was listening to Macca. We've done some work with him on a travel show that I work with, and he is now doing his float plane.
Float plane tours,
So you can go from the centre of Perth straight over to Rottnest on the float plane. Now that, I think, would be a fan. If someone bought me that for a present, I'd be pretty chuffed.
There we go. And I did that, and the float planes are fantastic. I did a trip on one years ago out to the Abrolhos, and it was just like being in some sort of James Bond movie. I'm not sure whether they do it with the Rottnest one, but this guy, he'd hang onto the float and he'd take off just a little bit and drop down onto the next bit of reef, and you'd drop off the float and have a snorkel there, and you'd go, I just want to take you up to this next spot. So he'd hang onto the float and he'd motor up.
Oh, that sounds fun. Highly, highly naughty, but
yeah,
geez, a lot of fun. Don't say his name on air. Poor man, we don't want him closed down. All right, so when you get to Rottnest and you've got your 63 beaches, how do you like to get around on the island?
Well, it has to be bike, doesn't it? But there are a lot of other options now. There's obviously the Segway tours, which is a great way to explore the island. And there's also the bus that goes around as well, which is pretty handy just to hop on and off if you just want to try out as many beaches as you want to in a day. or if you're doing the walk trails and need a rest every once in a while.
You know what I saw, Chris? We went over the other weekend for the Rottnest Festival and we picked up one spare bike because he who must be amused, Mr. Grumpy, refused to take his very expensive mountain bike with him because it would get salt spray on it.
Yeah, you can't have that.
No, apparently not. So instead, we hired a bike when we got there for him. And while we were in there, there were bikes there that had motors on them. I'm thinking, people like my mum, who don't mind a bike ride, but let's face it, it can be quite challenging. You know, you know you've gone for a ride once you've been around Rottnest. Just to have that little bit of kick to get up and down the hills would be great.
Or the other option is to have yourself another rider, which is what my daughter and I did last year, and you get the tandem bike, which sounds like you're going to have the easiest ride of your life until you get one person that doesn't want to do any of the riding.
Matilda found it hard.
Oh, no, I think Matilda found it very easy. But that was fantastic, just the tandem around the island. That was a great way to do it. Yeah. And you can just sort of push your way through the rest of the traffic as well. Everyone gets out of your way, even
really?
The walkers. I see a huge tandem bike coming on with two people on it. Yeah, terrific fun.
We do sometimes take the lights over as well and go on trips on the bike with the lights on at night, and that's beautiful.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
or you could just take your dolphin torch and an Oki strap.
You could do that too, Chris.
And then you can take off the dolphin torch and go and spot quokkas at night or squid down at the jetty and, try and do that with your specialised bike torch.
Thanks for that, mate. Thanks. I'm feeling pretty special now. I'll take my dolphin torch next time. So, all right, so we've gone for a ride around.
Yep.
What beaches do you like to stop at and why?
It's got to be the basin to start with. And the thing I love about the basin is that the quokkas know that it's there as well. Between the settlement and the basin, there's the biggest population of quokkas who just sit there and laze under the trees as if they've done a hard day's work and just wait for all the tourists to go to the basin and have your pictures taken. And then when you get down to the basin, just to sit on that flat piece of rock and just push off over the sand. No. Beautiful flashes of silver as the fish are there. And then you get up against the reef and there's all sorts of other fish. There are fish that are twisting upwards and there are big lazy cod down below that occasionally sort of turn around to see if anything's following them. Just a magnificent spot.
Yeah, I actually like the fact that, that little hole, whatever you call it, when the tide's really, really low and you feel safe in there. You feel like you can pop the kids in there with their goggles on. They can have a good old look around and look underneath the ledges and explore.
And Little Parakeet Bay, just a little bit further around as well. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm preferencing those beaches where it's great to go for the family swim as well. But certainly on the western side, you've then got those bays and beaches that are better explored for the older kids and the surfers. But certainly, I just think my favourite is still the basin and Little Parakeet Bay.
I mean, for those who are listening in who perhaps are new to WA, that one of the beauties of that island is there's once the old sea breeze comes in from the southwest, you just move sides of the island. There's always somewhere that's protected.
Always somewhere that's becalmed.
Becalmed. There you go. I've got cahoots and becalmed. We've got two great words today. So when you stay on the island, do you have a preference for staying in different places or a little bit of variety?
Always try and mix it up. There's such a range of chalets around the island now. I mean, I've had the opportunity as well to stay at the lodge, which I've enjoyed, but also done the old slum down tents as well. Over the years.
And Carolyn Tompkin, the ones that are like dongers now. We did the year sixes at our school had their camp there recently. It was parents and kids. That was fun. That was fun. Everyone was mucking in together. You're all doing the same thing and everyone sits out the front on the veranda and just hangs out at night at the barbecue. It's great.
Yep. And that's what you're going there for. Mm. Mm. And that's part of it. And I actually like staying somewhere, particularly any of the chalets where you'll find a quokka has found its way in.
Yeah.
And somehow you've got to help it find its way out. Just all part of the adventure, isn't it?
It is part of the adventure with your broom.